I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the community briefing. We have some things we need to discuss with you. This is a part of the process for the proposed things that we have for you tonight. My name is David Ashley. I'm with the Southeast Facility Service Office in Lawrenceville, Georgia. We're a headquarters facilities that look after and take care and maintain and some point in time used to build new facilities for Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi, and seven counties in South Carolina.
They might hear me then. Give me a mic.
Okay. Hold it close.
You make me think I'm American Idol, man. I have some postal employees that I introduced tonight. We have John McCormick, the postmaster for Atlanta. He's with us tonight. This is part of my panel. We have Michael Miles with Corporate Communications with the Postal Service. We have Julie Malden, the Manager of Customer Relations with Atlanta District. We have Royal Smith, the Station Manager for the Dunwoody Branch. And we have Jenny Bennett, the Area Manager for the Atlanta District over the Dunwoody Branch. And then we have Shirley Toller, who is the Manager of Retail. Glad to have everyone here tonight. If I can't answer your questions, I'm sure with the panel that we have here tonight, they can be a great help to you. Just to give you a little background of information, what's going on here. The Postal Service, just like any other business right now, has really suffered in the economy in which we're in. The reason we've suffered is because of the loss in first-class mail. That is attributed, as you know, to the internet, to a lot of different things that electronically that we use this day and time. And the first-class mail volume has just completely dropped off. By doing that, as most of you know, we generate our revenue by selling stamps. We get no subsidies from the U.S. government. We make our living by opening the doors and opening our windows and selling stamps. If we don't sell stamps, there's no reason for that carrier that comes to your house or to your business to deliver that mail. If we don't sell the stamps, there's no mail. The Postal Service lost $2.8 billion last year. And then halfway through this year, we lost $2.3 billion. And then in the last quarter, we lost an additional $1.9 billion. So as you can see, Postal Service is affected just like a lot of other business has been in the recession in which we're in. Because of this, the Postal Service decided and came to the conclusion that they had to look at ways to generate revenue and ways to cut costs in the business. By doing this, the facilities department began to look at all the facilities in within our jurisdiction of our postal owned facilities and also our lease facilities. And what they began to look at was to see if there was a way to consolidate operations without affecting the operations of the Postal Service, and without affecting service. They began to look at ways to perhaps to sell some of the underutilized assets that they had. And they began to look at also at lease facilities whereby they could get out of some of these properties, whereby they could get out of some of the leases, and in doing so, they could maybe perhaps consolidate operations. This was a business decision, and it was ways that they decided and determined to cut costs, and in thus cutting costs to be able to save the service as you know it and the service that we've all enjoyed for so many years. The process was to evaluate facilities, to do an optimization study on the facilities in large metro areas and in areas where we felt like that the Postal Service could possibly find and look at some of the underutilized assets. It was a nationwide optimization study. It Dunwoody was not just one that was picked out of the blue. This study has gone on across the nation, in every city and every state around the nation, whereby there is potential revenue generation and potential ways to consolidate and to look at the assets and find ways to save money. The proposal was, after the evaluation was done on the Dunwoody branch, the proposal came back and the process was determined that this branch was identified as an underutilized asset and one that possibly could be disposed of through a public sale. This is not a closing. We are not closing the Dunwoody branch. To do this and to accomplish this way to generate this revenue, then a process was determined to relocate the Dunwoody branch so that we could get to the point of a disposal and a way to generate revenue for the Postal Service. Then a study was done to see if the existing operation that was in the Dunwoody branch could be moved to the carrier annex 2.5 miles away. Presently, at the annex, we have 19,231 square feet. We only need 6,500. At the branch, we have 11,715 square feet. We only need 4,000 square feet. So as you can see, we really don't need but 10,500 square feet that can go into a building of 19,231 square feet. At the branch, there's 1,446 boxes, and only 958 boxes are rented. We have three counters there. We have three windows there at the Dunwoody branch. Let me just say right here that there is a decision has not been made. You know, some people think that when we have these meetings that we have predetermined decisions and things, decisions already made and our minds are made up. Let me just say that this, we have no smoking guns. We have no secrets. This is a part of the process tonight to let you, the community, to voice your opinion and to give your comments. What happens after this meeting, there's a 30-day comment period. All comments after tonight's meeting will be addressed to me. After the 30-day comment period, we will take the comments, we will meet with the district, and headquarters will make a final decision on what happens with the Dunwoody branch. All of this is just a proposal. But part of the process, as I said, is for you, the people of the community, to come tonight. At the end of our talk here tonight, we will have a question and answer period. That's why our post office personnel came tonight. Everyone's here to try to answer your question, to try to belay any fears that you might have, and try to show you that the Postal Service, like any other business, is trying to cut costs, and in cutting these costs and trying to protect it and generate revenue for the Postal Service without in any way endangering the service that we so strongly represent and we want to have in all of our businesses. As I said, there'll be, in this relocation, if this goes through, this relocation takes place, we have three counters over here, there'll be three counters at the carrier annex. We have 958 boxes rented over here, a total of 1,400 boxes, have the same amount of boxes over here. The same amount of clerks that's working over here, the same amount of clerks will move over there. It is not a closing of a post office. It's nothing but a relocation, whereby we can relocate the operation, and in doing so, we can possibly put the building on the market and try to sell it and generate some revenue for the Postal Service. This is a lease facility over there. We have a lease through 2020. We can't get out of that lease. And so when the numbers were run, the return on investment and the best opportunity for us to generate this revenue was determined that we could sell this underutilized facility. As you can see, we're only required 4,000 square feet in an 11,000 square foot building over there. It's a very beautiful building. It's a very nice building. So, as I said, no decision has been made on this. This is a part of the comment period. After tonight, there'll be a 30-day comment period that we have. And after that, there'll be a 30-day evaluation period. This will be the last public meeting that we have. And then we will be contacting the city and working with the city and announcing the decision that we made then. Now, I'll open it up for comments. Yes, sir.
First question is, you said that there's a comment period. How can we comment?
You can email me. The posting that went out has my email address. It has my, you can send it by post office. Please send it by the mail first, not email. I got in trouble with that the other day, but I mean, it's a natural thing. But you can mail it to me, you can email it, you can call me. My phone number's on there any way you'd like to. And if you don't have that, I'll be more than happy to give it to you tonight before you leave. Yes, ma'am.
Has any thought been given to closing the Hightower Trail or bringing them? If we have more room in Dudley, why not move to Hightower Trail? Would you let them?
We evaluate. When we did this one for Dunwoody, we looked at the facilities around here and the facilities that would best give us a return on our investment and best give us the net present value that we are bound to. There's a formula that we have to use in headquarters that they give us that, to get our best return.
That would require a retail closing order to put them out there.
Okay.
That building's got retail and carrier both in it, and boxes. So it would create the same issue.
We did too at one time.
Well, we're not closing a building, though. When we finish with this, you'll have the same number of retail establishments in Dunwoody as you had the beginning. If we was to move Northridge over here to close that, then we would diminish retail by one building. That's not what we're doing. We're not going down in numbers at all.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple of comments. First, I work with the government all the time, so I'm not one of those people who just badmouths the government. I actually think you guys do a hell of a good job and take a lot of bad press, et cetera. I want to preface by saying that. Work with a lot of regulators, and I can't see how the post office does what they do for, you know, the 42 cents you're charging, et cetera, okay? Whatever. Okay. I've been in Dunwoody since 91, and people have been here much longer than me to form a city, to get a sense of community, and to govern ourselves, okay, in here. And the new guys doing that are doing an absolutely fantastic job, okay? The location of the current Dunwoody Post Office over there in Dunwoody Village, to me, is ideal because it's in the heart of the community, and it should be preserved. I do anything I can to avoid using that facility, and I do a lot of business. I go to Beaver Ruin, Spalding, Chamblee, Norcross, any of the surrounding post offices, and I get pretty good service for a government employee, and I'm not making a big poke there. You get good service, they turn the people quick enough, etc. If you have a comment, they listen to you, and it seems like they take it at heart. I've been standing in the reason the Dunwoody Post Office is underutilized is the staff stinks. Okay, now if you're with me on that one, that's flat. Okay? I've been here since 91, and the staff has stunk in there since I came here in 91. That's why people don't go there. I work in business. I used to manage a whole lot of people. Everybody's having a downsize in the bad economy, okay? And I will jump ahead, okay? The nightmare scenario is if you close that building and you take that staff and move it somewhere else and you guarantee it's the same service. I'd rather shoot myself than go to the post office after that.
Hold on just a minute. Do you want to comment?
I appreciate your comments. And again, we look at a variety of things. Obviously, wait time in line is one issue. Obviously, the courtesy impact them as well. I'm sorry. Okay.
The wait time's bad because the staff stinks.
Wait a minute. I wouldn't go that far, Rick. I'm going to speak out of turn for a minute. I think it's inefficiency.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, let's be courteous. Let's everybody speak here. We live in Dunwoody, so that's the kind of folks we are, and that's the kind of projection we want. Everybody will have their turn to speak and say that, but let's be courteous. Let him have the mic and let him speak, and then he's ever next.
Could he please introduce himself, because we could not see the gentleman when they were introduced the first time?
Yes, sir. My name is John McCormick, and I'm the postmaster of Atlanta. And I want to just say we're glad you're passionate about the postal service and you care, and we care also. And in terms of your comments I'll just say generally what we look at. We're generally judged by an outside source on wait time and line. That's one big factor for us in terms. Our goal is for customers not to wait more than 5 minutes. I'm just saying, you know, and that's only as good as the data. And you know, that one is right at 5 minutes. We have had complaints on that. We understand that is, and we'll go back and address that. I have the manager here. But one thing that this consolidation, the question I think you asked is, will it get worse if it goes over there?
Let me clarify. We need to keep the building and get rid of the staff. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's my comment.
Let me just comment going back to that one part, because the retail units for us, it is kind of difficult for us to staff that. What the improvement will be if it goes to the delivery, we have 7 clerks there as well that sort mail, and also we have somebody that comes back and forth. It also gives us more flexibility. We have more employees that we can dual train, so we'll have, you know, in terms of we're short-staffed here, sometimes that happens, sometimes because contracts, it's hard for us to interchange employees. But with it compacted there, we'll have more employees to dual train, and we should have a lot more flexibility to improve the service problems that you're talking about. In terms of the treatment and the other issues you talked about, that's another issue that we need to address, and I'll work with the management there on that. We appreciate your comments.
David, one other question. I'm the only one David didn't introduce, and I'm his boss, so I have to talk to him about that later.
I had no
He didn't even know. I'm the manager of the facility service office here in Atlanta. I wanted to, you were talking underutilized.
It
is underutilized, but I want you to understand the difference. We're not talking about underutilizing the fact that people aren't coming to mail letters there. We're talking about the fact that we moved the carriers out of that building some number of years ago because of, at the time, we had a lot of volume, we had a lot of growth here, we had a lot of things that caused us basically to outgrow the working part of that building. So that's when we created the new carrier annex. So right now, we've got only a retail in a building that was designed for retails and carriers. So we've got about 8,000 or so square feet that's not being used. That's what David means by underutilized. It has nothing to do with the amount of walk-in revenue generated or anything else. It's purely a square foot needed versus square foot available math computation that says that the building's underutilized. Okay, that's all.
I have about a three-part comment here. One, I don't agree that the staff is rude or necessarily bad staffing. What I think it is inefficiency of operations at that facility. I mean, we are constantly standing in line. A 20-minute late wait is not unusual at that facility. Two, the carrier annex, when that was built over there, you're telling us it's 19,000 square feet. As a former government employee, I know the government doesn't build facilities that it didn't intend to use up front. I mean, they just don't build 19,000 square feet and decide, oh, we're only going to put 6,000 usage into that. So the plan...
That was based on a projected growth and mail volume.
Well, why wouldn't you bring more mail sorting into that facility and keep that as a sorting and distribution center and keep the retail center over here in
the
village?
Easy. The carriers over there serve this community. If you start bringing carriers from other areas into it, the transportation costs get exceedingly high. The reason that that building was oversized was because at the time we built it, we had far higher mail volume. We've actually reduced the carrier routes over there about 3 or 4 just because of the mail volume issues. We've had an increase in our sorting, our automation sorting capacities that we didn't have then, and the projected growth for this area drove it higher probably than it should, because I'm sure the growth figures have now scaled back, and so we overshot. We try to design a building that lasts for 20 years, so when you move into it, the first 10 years you're underutilized. Second 10 years, you grow past it, and you get tied at the end, which would be perfect. In this case, we built a building bigger than we needed because we built it based on the need then, which has changed in our current environment.
Well, and my third comment about that building, the carrier annex, is I assume you are going to have to do extensive modifications to that building to accommodate the public if you are going to make it a retail operations, because there's inadequate parking. And the entrance into that building for the public is virtually non-existent because it was not intended to be a retail operation.
I will answer that one because I was just over there looking and anticipating this question. Number one, the projection of parking is adequate based on our needs.
Your needs? What about the public needs?
Ma'am, your needs are our needs. That's why
we're in business.
I don't think so.
I'm trying to answer your question.
All right.
What about
the, there's a red light at that facility, at the entrance. I'm not sure how much more efficient you can get in a turning process than to have a red light there.
Problem is, I had to go over there and pick up my mail when my mailbox was destroyed. And I'm telling you that parking was an issue, especially there's inadequate handicap parking. You had to go through this little side door. If that was locked, then you had to kind of cut through the bushes to get around to the other back door in order to get in. It's not a public accessible building, generally speaking, by and large. You know, it isn't.
That's because we haven't finished the build-out of the retail space, which will accommodate handicap probably better than we can accommodate in the building that we have now, and the parking will be appropriate for the building. The reason that if you went over there before this, I'm not sure how you would judge if proper parking was there or not, because that right now is employee parking, which will be moved to the back of the building. So you're not going to, any car that is parked over there now will be in the back of the building. You won't be fighting for those cars, with those cars for space. That's all in the back.
And we have a two-way in and out, well, around and about in the building.
You have one entrance that comes in the building. One goes into the back of the space, which you guys will not be going to. The other one comes to the front of the building, which is where we locate the retail parking. Parking numbers are adequate based on the size facility that we're planning on putting in there. And you have a red light to come and go out of the facility at the exact entrance to our building.
But at the village, you've got basically a semicircle in front of the building. It cuts through, you've got entrance way in and out. Over there at the annex, you've only got one in and out.
We have an in and an out, yes.
It's the same entrance. At the village, you've got two, an entrance and an exit. Separate entrance, separate exit.
Okay.
For the public parking.
I guess I don't understand the point.
Stay on the right side of the road and you'll be all right.
We
may solve the clerk problem because since I didn't introduce my boss, I may be prime for that job. And I got to ride home with you too. Yes, sir.
Apologize. You mentioned that Carrier Annex is a leased facility. I believe that you mentioned that the Carrier facility is leased.
Yes, sir.
And that therefore you cannot get out of it. People all the time buy their way out of disadvantageous leases. It's done every day by business and people all over the world.
Yes, we have a no termination clause for that lease, and we cannot, I mean, yes, we can. We could, you're correct, we could probably pay an astronomical amount to get out of it, but then it would, the numbers wouldn't even work for us to even do anything like that. We look at that as well. And
the cost of buying out of that lease would negate any potential revenue that we would generate out of that. If we're going to have to buy out the lease, we might as well stay where we are. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to try to serve you guys and us accomplish our mission of trying to create a little revenue for the Postal Service. It can't be done with buying out of that lease. The leasehold in that is more than the building is worth under the current environment.
Okay, then there are no choices, are there? You're stuck with that building and you want to get out of our building. And so therefore, this is a fait accompli. I mean, who are you kidding?
Okay, this young lady back here. I've sat with her for a long time.
I have some things to say. I hardly know where to start. Let me start with where to start. Can you all hear me?
No, use the microphone.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I assume that if it gets moved, the hours are going to stay the same, 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. You will almost definitely push me into having to do all my business in Sandy Springs. Okay? I'm a lawyer. and I moved my business from Lennox Road into Dunwoody in May of 2004. And part of the reason I picked that location was because it was close to the bank and the post office. I am the only lawyer in my office. That means if I don't get done with the deadline before you guys close, I got to go somewhere else to file my paperwork. So what that means for us basically is either my staff, I have to pay my staff overtime to get them to file something late, or I personally am not getting home to my family because I've got to now drive all the way over to Sandy Springs where they have an 8 o'clock post office. Right now, the way it stands is I can send them out the door at 5 minutes till 6, and they can be in that line before 6 o'clock. So it's a humongous hardship on my business and me personally, this move. And the traffic on the road that where the annex is at that time of day, just to give you an example, I live and work in Dunwoody. And I live in Dunwoody North. It's about 4 miles from my office, which is right behind the Remax building on Chamblee Dunwoody. I can, without traffic, get home in about 8, 9, 10 minutes. That if between 5:30 and 6 o'clock hour, it could probably take anywhere from I'd say 30 to 35 minutes to get from one end of Chamblee Dunwoody to the other. It would be a huge hardship on us. So I'm very concerned about that. I have not found the post office staff to be any ruder or different than any other post office staff that I've had to work with over the last 15 years. But I was there today, and, you know, this parking situation, I think, could be a very big concern, because when I was there today at about 1 o'clock, there was barely enough parking right in front of where the post office is for the current post office, and luckily they have that whole other shopping center, so they have overflow. We wouldn't be able to park on, North Shaliford if there was not enough space. People would just be standing there going, well, how am I supposed to get my, filing done, or how am I supposed to get my tax return filed, or how am I supposed to get Grandpa's, Christmas present out? There would be, at Christmas time, there's no way there would be enough parking there. There's just no way. So, I'm not coming here complaining about the post office in general, but I think that this particular move is going to work a lot of hardship for the people who, put their businesses in what I like to refer to as downtown Dunwoody.
Thank you, Liz Thomas.
Yes, sir.
I like that facility over there on Chamblee Dunwoody, or North Shaliford, because I can go by there late, very late, after the post offices are closed, after all the mailboxes have been collected, and I can leave my letter off, and it'll get out later than anywhere else I could possibly post the letter. All they have to do is set up one box, which is the last collected box, before they send the mail over to Crown Parkway or Crown Road. They could collect from that box, and then how late does the last truck leave the Crown Road?
7:30.
Well, then you would have till 7:30 to post.
No, not to certify the priority.
Well, no, you can't do it with that.
Yeah, but we do. But you can, right now, just so you understand how all this works, if you want to do a filing in most of the courts in the state, it is acceptable to file it instead of driving downtown. It is acceptable to file it by certified mail on the day it's due, instead of having to drive to the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, or wherever.
Well, maybe they can put in a coin-operated machine to accept mail that'll postmark it and date and put the timestamp in.
When you leave tonight, we have a list of nearby post offices locations here, and we also, on the back, it says automated postal center locations where we do have the automation that you can go in and do the all your mailing. And this is available on the back table, or either right here on the front table, I believe, when you leave tonight, if you'd like to have those.
Sir, yes, ma'am. If you're cutting calls, are you going to close that post office across from Walmart? No. Well, why not close it?
No.
Are you having to?
Are you having to?
Why not close it and save money?
That would be closing a retail. We're relocating a retail. That's Matt.
Well, they don't have any people going in there.
Oh,
yeah, shut that one down.
Yes, sir.
Did you consider moving the Walmart to the annex and leaving the Dunwoody where it was and getting out of your retail space near the Walmart? Because then you'd still be preserving two retail counters and you'd still have one facility. And the math didn't work on that because that's a prime retail space.
You know what? We'll look at that. We're tasked right now, whenever we do these, they call it node studies. I'm not sure where the term node comes from. But anyway, we're supposed to look at a 10-mile radius when we look at any of these things. And, of course, in an urban area, 10 miles is, if you drive 10 miles at Dunwoody, it's not like driving 10 miles in the middle of Social Circle or somewhere. I mean, everybody knows that. So we try to look at it in a realistic, common sense kind of a way. Our mission is to look at every single facility in the United States and compare and see if there's anything we can do to that. We've only been working on this about 6 months now, so obviously we haven't got through them all, but that's certainly something we need to look at, and I will go back and look at that.
Right. Mr. Shinman here.
For those of us that have businesses in the central Dunwoody area and have post office boxes at the Dunwoody branch, we have to make that trip every day to get our mail, and that would add another 5 miles a day down to the annex and back into the central Dunwoody area. I don't know how many people I might represent in that, but I know I would have to do it every day. And as far as post office boxes are concerned, if you were to move it to the annex, would the same numbers be available
there,
the same boxes, the same zip codes?
Yes, sir.
We wouldn't have to change addresses on letterheads?
All your letterheads, everything, all of your mailing envelopes, anything of that would remain the same.
Okay, the last thing is, why not look at renting the rest of the facility at the Dunwoody branch to a small business that needs some warehouse space? Because you got a nice dock out on the back that could easily be used by somebody else. So
security issue. We would have the retail up front with the dock space that we have to use every day to take in the mail and to sort it and get it ready for distribution into the boxes. If we tried to go in and rent out a portion of that building, it's a security issue. We couldn't do that.
Well, I know of a school up in Rome that rented part of its large space, which used to be a office building and warehouse, to the Postal Service, until the Postal Service could get their branch built up there, and they worked that out just fine. So.
The school wasn't there until we moved out.
Pardon me?
The school wasn't there until we moved out. We actually bought it from Batty Machinery, and we had to rent with them. They bought that space for the school after we were in.
Who bought the space from the school?
The school bought the space from our lessor after we were already in that building. That was a temporary facility as well.
Yeah, but then you rented it from the school.
No.
But so there wasn't a security issue.
We ultimately were renting it from the school, but the school wasn't using that space until after we vacated it.
Right. But there wasn't a security issue, and it was basically the same space.
No, there wasn't a security issue because we were the only ones in the building. The school and us never occupied the building.
That's wrong, because I've worked with the school for several years, and you were both in there at the same time.
That was my project.
Yeah, the Unity Christian.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The battery machine.
The post office didn't move out until about spring of last year.
No. There was not an issue there. We weren't sharing a loading dock with them.
Maybe that was the mailboxes.
Are you recording it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Everyone knows that these comments will be recorded by a councilman up here, so we want to make sure that's evident to everyone. Yes, sir.
They're pretty
very quick one. Not speaking to what you should or shouldn't do or where it should be, others are doing that very eloquently. But if, perchance, you do relocate either the one by Walmart or the one in the village to the location of down by Georgetown, this community is totally used to school systems, everybody. When they build a new school, we get involved in the design of the look on the outside. We get designed and we review the traffic flow and the parking spaces and so on and so forth. And I would hope you would give us that same courtesy, that we would actually be part and parcel of your design. And you would, at the very least, when you'd even come up with a draft one, come up with boards for us all to comment on and so forth. But probably better than that, meet with a committee that the mayor and others might assign to work with you on the design, as opposed to you trying to sell us at an open meeting what great designers you are. Let us give you some input as to what we want to see in our Dunwoody post office. The look of it is very important to us, because if it's going to be there, we hope it's there for a long, long time, and it looks like a beautiful building that Dunwoody would be proud of. Can't see it from the street.
First off, I'm a registered architect in the state of Georgia, so hopefully I'm making our office do a good job to take care of those kind of issues. Because I'm sensitive to the
input, or we're saying trust you, you're a good architect.
Can you answer your question? We always give the community input. We don't get building permits because we're not required to do that. We give you new notification, and we allow you to comment on it, just as we're going to allow you to do in this meeting tonight. And then if it doesn't interfere with a unique postal requirement, or it doesn't cause some conflict with our security or something else, or if it doesn't have some vastly over-the-top architectural feature that, you know, we don't feel compelled to pay for, then we always work with the community to get what they want.
Thank you very much.
We have standard designs, but within those, we have a few flexible issues that we can work with. But as far as meeting or any of that stuff, that we don't have a lot of that. We designed by committee doesn't work.
Yeah, we saw that horse.
We have the drawings we have here tonight. If you looked at them, you're hardly even the existing building. You're hardly even going to tell that anything's been changed, other than where the entrance and all is going to be. So it's not likely going to be a grave change or some monstrosity or something.
Before everybody starts talking, this outlay that you see out here, the elevation, is a very nondescript elevation. It's just to show where it's going to go. Doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to have a little bit better design entry feature or something on it. This is just something to give you an indication that it will fit in that building, and that this is the approximate location for the entrance and the parking layout and everything else for this building. As far as dressing up the facade of it, I mean, that building is a split face block. It's decent colors. The entry feature on it could be manipulated a little bit to meet the surroundings for that particular area. Although, you know, driving around there doesn't seem to be a completely, an architectural, I don't think the area was designed by an architectural committee or anything. I mean, certainly not like where you are now. There's the unique Williamsburg kind of look, and you don't have that over there. But. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sure.
I'm afraid what I have to say is not probably the most eloquent thing that could be said at this meeting. But you said up front that the decisions were not already made. Everything that has been said by every one of your representatives leads to the fact that, in fact, the decision has been made, because there's no turning back. And I think that is not a very truthful way to run a meeting. And I think that what we're doing is there were decisions made by previous management at some level to build the big annex and do whatever has been done. And now we are being punished because of bad decisions of some years ago. And I think that is really awful to treat a community like this. You know, I realize you have your regulations. I ran very large business. And when I made a business mistake, the last person that I penalized was my customers. You're penalizing your customers. And about the service of the Dunwoody billing, I have stood in line many times and had people walk out and say, this is why I'm going to UPS. This is why I'm going to FedEx. This is why I'm going to UPS. Don't kid yourself about the service. It stinks. You can't even, there's lines there all the time. You can't even, until the stamp machines went in, you couldn't even buy stamps up there. So I would not be so prone. I know each one of you have your responsibilities. I know that you're probably doing under what you think is the best job and what your bosses tell you to do. But I'll tell you something. You are really making a mess of what we wanted for Dunwoody as far as the Dunwoody community. And I hope that if you can change your mind on this, that you'll have compassion for what has been trying to be done in this community and not just go forward trying to satisfy bureaucracies. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will reiterate again, no decision has been made on this. The building, as Mr. Goddard presented a while ago, the building was built in the time and the size that the Postal Service needed at that time, and the projections of mail volume and projections of growth. This process has only begun about 3 to 6 months ago. This building was identified in the last round that we went through. And as I say again, there has been no decision made. This is a part of the process and part of the comment period and then the evaluation process of another 30 days that's going to take place.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. A quick question just to clarify. If this has been made,
can you use the microphone?
The decision hasn't been made. Then the gentleman up there, there was a discussion about renting the back part of the Dunwoody post office, and y'all said there was a security issue because of the loading dock. Is that correct?
Yeah, we used the loading dock to rent out the middle part of the section where people would have to go back and forth and have the same thing as mail. It would be a security issue.
Okay, so I'm just wondering if there's a way to make it where it wouldn't be a security issue.
Goddard, do you want to comment on it?
There's two issues, okay? First off, we have two buildings that are underutilized. If we rent part of that one, that takes care of part of that issue. In order to compete with or take care of the total issue, we'd have to try to do that in both facilities. And it's very difficult. We don't want to really be in the real estate leasing business. I mean, that's not what the Postal Service does. So, is it possible? Yes. Have we done it in the past? Sure we have. Has it been successful? It's like with everybody else that has a tenant or leases property to somebody else. If you got a good tenant, it works out great. If you don't, it doesn't work out so good. So, all of that was considered in looking at this particular study. What we're presenting to you tonight is the best solution for the Postal Service, which we've said all along, and in our mission to try to cut costs or to generate revenue.
Thank you. Yes, sir, you've been holding your hand for a while.
I'd like a clarification on a point you said earlier. It's my understanding that either facility would be at less than 100% if you consolidated both operations in either of the two buildings, and that you have a no break on your lease, that you can't terminate it, written into the clause. My question for you, if those two points are correct, is do you have the ability to sublease for 10 years the space at the annex? Since either building could be used, it would just be whether you didn't want to get into the leasing business with a sublease, but your contract does allow that. Is that correct?
Does allow that, but the numbers, according to the brokers that we looked at, we pursued that. It apparently right now in today's economy, and the amount of money that we could lease that building for would not sustain the amount that we're paying for it.
Okay.
We got it in a different time.
But
we made every effort. In Nirvana, we probably could move all the carriers back to the other facility and be just fine. But then we're stuck with that lease that,
all
that was.
6 months from now, the economy might be better. A year from now, by the time you move out. By the time you move out, the economy might be better. So, it'll take that long.
Been very patient.
Government doesn't move down.
I've been in Dunwoody since 1970 before the school was even finished and so forth and so on. I am a dedicated Dunwoodian, and I just want that facility at the village to stay there. And I do not think the staff is rude. I think the people get so impatient waiting that they give the staff a lot of grief. But I happen to be handicapped, and they are so nice there, especially the lady at the, I've forgotten her name, at the far right-hand side. Whenever she sees me, she has me come right up there because there's no place I can sit or anything else. I think the people the customers just run out of patience, and then it transfers. So please, let's keep the Dunwoody Village Post Office.
Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
A couple of things. The first part is that I live at the other end of Dunwoody, near Crozet. And as over the past couple of years, all the drop boxes have been removed. I understand for efficiency, but that also means you have to drive from that end of Dunwoody to the center. Let's assume scenario one, that you actually sell the property. Somebody's going to want to do something with that property. How are you going to handle where is all that mail volume going to go? That first of all, now I have to drive, or not just myself, further to deliver the mail because we don't want to leave it in our mailboxes for security reasons. How are you going to handle that transaction? I mean, they've just disappeared in Dunwoody. And that particular place, the slots get full so fast. I mean, by 7 a.m. in the morning, they're full. And it's just really a security issue because you can see the letters sticking out. So if you sell that place, where are you going to put all the drop boxes that are practically gone anyway? And then the second question is, this is really a financial decision, which I completely understand. Can you sell the land, but then lease part of it back so that you get the profit from the value of the Dunwoody land, and yet maintain the facility there by maybe paying less because they could take part of the land away and you could stay there? So there's like two different scenarios. One is a customer service issue about where are we going to drop our mail, and also the Shallowford is a single destination as opposed to a multi-destination, which a lot of people have brought up. So those are my comments.
I'll take on the one with the collection box again, and I think, again, if we do move forward, then obviously, based on the activity we have there, we would put collection boxes in that location. So that would be our option to do that. And the reason we've removed them, we have a standard based on volume. If the box doesn't generate enough volume, we test it for a period of time, we take them out. But obviously, we would anticipate the volume there. We would establish large enough. If we had to put more than one, we could put more than one there.
And just, not at the annex, but in the middle of Dunwoody.
No, yeah. And obviously, we have to have cooperation with whoever owns it and so forth, you know. But we do that regularly in terms of retail areas and things like that. But obviously, that's something we can satisfy that. As far as trying to sell off part of the land, I mean, one of the other things that we're doing right now, and one that we've been very successful at, frankly, is going around and finding post offices where, for some reason, we had to overbuy the property because that was the size tract that we could get. Sometimes that yields a piece of property that's big enough to do something with in a location that has a good access from a side road or something. But the problem with the Dunwoody is kind of the same reason we can't rent the building. We're using the front of the building and we're using the back of the building in the operation right now. It's kind of the space in the middle that's no man's land. So in order for us to keep access to the dock and keep access to the front, it's not going to yield enough excess property for someone really to be interested in, frankly, unless there's some adjacent property owner that could tie a piece of that in with something else that they were doing. But within itself, it's not going to have big enough space to do anything. Yes, sir.
This is for the postmaster. First of all, I want to comment about the postal service. If I didn't come back instead of time, that mail comes in and goes out. So,
thank you so much.
Another point beside whether you stay with it where it is or move it, I have a problem with the postmaster's evaluation of the service at the current facility. I think you heard the people were pretty negative. Now, certainly, I think 70% of the time, you get pretty good service. If you don't want to be there at peak times. So there's a problem with management. There may be some employees that need to go, but the biggest problem, why don't you staff it? So here's I have two questions for you. Can you give us a commitment? You close this one down, move it, whatever you do, are you personally going to get involved and improve the service to your customers, citizens of Dublin? And the second one is, I'd like someone to contact you to pursue a couple of ways to reduce your costs outside of the facilities.
Can I do that? Can I get that information?
Yes, sir. I love any ideas. And let me be the first to say, you know, we obviously, we know we have our issues to address in many ways, operationally, and in terms of customer service and say, remote. But to your question about our commitment to make sure this works, obviously, because it, you know, again, if it goes forward, we know we're hearing a lot of input from you. There'll be a lot of focus on that, but more importantly, it's the right thing to do. But one thing with the off-site retail, it's, you know, we do have difficulty managing. Most of our employees are at the care facility. We have majority employees there, so we have a lot more management time. Now, that's an excuse. We should spend adequate time in our peak times to manage the retail window. But I'm just being honest, we struggle with the off-site retail units because many times there's not management present. They kind of go back and forth. If you move it over there, we have a manager and three supervisors over there on staff, and you have much more management presence to monitor. And for us, we have peak times. We know we're vulnerable with the lines. As you mentioned, the peak times, we have data that tells us that. But we'd be better fit to manage that as well to improve that.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, first off, thanks for looking out for my tax money. I appreciate what y'all are going through. Secondly, I want to take this opportunity to chastise some of my Dunwoody residents who don't take care of that post office. I mean, nobody in this room, I'm sure. But I think we've all noticed it could be better maintained, and that's our fault. But the thing I really want to ask is, who will be the final decision maker, and what can we as a community do to encourage you to choose us, the building we're in now?
Again, this is all part of an evaluation process. Nothing, despite what anybody wants to say or believe, the process has not been firmed up. There's been no commitment made. If there was, there'd be a for sale sign on the building today. But there's not. Okay. So you voicing your concerns, we will take those into consideration in looking at everything else that we still have to review to make sure that you know, the amount of money that we will generate off of this is worth any possible conflict that we're going to have.
And the final decision maker is who?
The final decision maker, I won't say it's a committee, but basically our office will be involved with it. Obviously, the Atlanta district will be involved in it. Our office is located here in Atlanta, but we're at headquarters, so we serve five states. We just happen to be here. So that evaluation will incorporate all of the district staff here in Atlanta that are concerned with that particular building. And then from the engineering standpoint and the real estate standpoint, it will involve my staff. And then we will roll that together basically in an approved note and send that forward. And then it would be approved by headquarters facilities before we would move forward with it. But it has to have sign off by the district manager here in Atlanta. It has to have sign off by facilities headquarters. It has to have sign off by the area vice president in the southeast area, all before it becomes an official node and we progress forward with it.
I appreciate your kudos, but we don't get any tax money. If we could get some stimulus money, we wouldn't be here tonight. We sell stamps for a living. Yes, ma'am.
My question is about safety issue. You mentioned there was a traffic light there, so at the driveway that goes in. I believe that traffic light is south of that entrance.
If you drive through that red light and you go straight, you will go straight into the USPS only section of that building. You have to make a slight left turn to go to the front of the building, but it's dead, and our entrance onto the road is at that red light.
Well, when I'm traveling south on Charlotte Road, I have stopped many times and let traffic come out of that driveway, but...
That's right. There is a, I don't know if it's a doctor's office. There's a doctor's office, I think, that's up there, and I believe we're the only other thing on that side.
Okay, maybe I don't know where your driveway is. But the thing is, I thought there wasn't a light there, and I'd have to make a left turn crossing two lanes of traffic to head north on Shalford.
We made that left turn onto Shalford about 2 hours ago at the red light.
I'm going to have to go look. Because I'm one of those 900 people that went the blocks from you at our main Dunwoody post office. And that means I'll be traveling twice as far to get to my box.
or either I just leave the mail piling up and then I get legal yellow cards in it saying it's $200. But I was concerned about that driveway because I was thinking the light is down at the access road.
Yes,
okay, that's good then. But I hope you stand that way.
Yeah, you're actually here.
Okay. Yeah,
right here.
Right here.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to the staff for coming to Dunway. I think it's pretty nice of you to take enough time. I think we're important. I always thought the Toastmasters had eye shades and sleeves rolled up. I'm sure. This is going to be an economic decision. It's going to be a business decision. You're in the business. You know, you're not .gov anymore. You're .com. You're a business. You're not a government agency. And so you're going to make a business decision. Now, presuming that your opening statement was correct, that first-class mail rates are, not rates, but volumes are dropping and are continuing to trend downward for, you know, the obvious electronic reasons, I suppose. So let's presume then that the 6,900 square feet that you're utilizing over currently in the existing mail sorting facility, the carrier facility, is going to also shrink because the requirement of volume of mail to be handled is less and less, and therefore you can do less of it in less space. And let's assume that the 4,000 square feet that you've devoted to retail in the existing 11,000 square foot building in Dunwoody Village will remain the same or less because volume is going down, then it would make sense to take those two, merge them in the Dunwoody Village building. As the volume diminishes, you're going to be in your own building. You're not going to be paying for 19,000 square feet of space that you're not really utilizing. And you can then sublease the 19,000 square foot building, which is an industrial.
First of all, we have a lease to 2020.
Yeah, sublease. I didn't say
that. And we looked at the sublease on that.
Just a few minutes ago with this gentleman.
Right.
We looked at the subleasing possibilities. We have a lot of brokers that we engage, and we went out and looked to see. The problem is that is a loser. We can't rent that building out for what it is worth to. You know, what we're paying.
But at least hold interest.
We will take a loss on that building, and so all of that was calculated to see. You know, maybe we take a loss on that. Maybe that's just the best yield for us. We take. You know, that loss is. It's not as bad as us selling the building, whatever. But, you know, right now, that's not a possibility.
But you got 15,000 square feet of unutilized space there now.
If we could move back into the other building and get out of the 2020 lease, that would have absolutely been what we would have been having no discussion about that because we would have been bringing the carriers back over, which would have been cut off. Unfortunately, because the economics of that building is not possible, that's the reason we're having this meeting. I wish it was possible. I'd rather be somewhere else and have a business
discussion. Yes, sir. You say you've looked at that sublease possibility. Obviously, you've explored that. But in the selling of the property at Dunwoody Village, have you looked into who the potential buyers are and who you are going to saddle the city of Dunwoody with? I mean, there's a lot of empty space, vacant space there.
Well, I guess.
Who have you looked into that possibility, who the potential buyers are of that property?
I'm not sure how you do that. We market it.
Well, it seemed like you had all your avenues covered. I'm just curious as to what you've looked at. I mean, there's so much vacant property. Are you sure you can sell that property?
Are you sure you can sell your house right now?
No.
If we don't attempt to sell it, I'm pretty sure we'll never sell it. If we attempt to sell it, we're not going to go anywhere until it does sell. And we're not going to go out and spend a bunch of money on this other building in order to build out retail and then go flying over there leaving a building sitting. And I guess what I'm saying is with the market depressed as it is this the right time to be making this move? You'll tell me what we're going to get offered for, how long it's going to be, I'll answer that question. What I'm telling you is the only thing that this is going to do is we're trying to get through the process where we get approval to do this. Then we put the building up for sale. When we get a seller, if we can get enough money. Right now, this whole thing is based on a premise that the building is worth X number of dollars. If we get half of that, then that premise goes away. We won't move. We'll stay exactly where we are because there's no longer an incentive to move. If we don't get a sale for a year, we won't move for a year. It's just like when some of my friends have already done this, where you go buy a new house without selling your old one. But we're not that kind of neighbor. We're going to stay where we are until we sell the house.
And that reiterates even more. This building is not for sale. We haven't contacted anyone. No one's contacted us. So that shows that the process is still in the planning stage. Yes, ma'am. You've been waiting for a long time.
Okay. You own this property, and you lease the other property.
Correct.
You don't know what the lease is going to cost you when it's up. So aren't you being financially short-sighted by what you're doing?
No, ma'am, because the lease goes to 2020. If it was a shorter-term lease, we might not be making the same evaluation. And our leases, we have, in the southeast area alone, my office takes care of 3,000 leases. We have 4,000 facilities, roughly, 1,000 of them owned, 3,000 of them leased. And I venture to say that there's 1,000 different kind of leases in that. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This one happens to be a very long-term lease, and that's the reason that we can't. I wish it was a short-term lease, because then the evaluation would have certainly showed to go the other way. We're taking care. Our process right now, we look at 10 years in the future.
This is more... If this is more financially efficient and just efficient in terms of getting the mail out, I have no opposition to it. However, I am very concerned about who you sell that property to. This is a community that's been very careful about zoning, very careful about who moves in. And we would want some assurances in writing that you're not going to sell it to certain kinds of businesses. Now, I know that that's your right, but in terms of getting this through the system, we really, and this has been this way for 30 years that I've lived here.
We would not be issuing a business license to the city of Tumbleweed.
I didn't mean that it was going to be an adult thing.
If they can't get it approved to the city for the business that they want to establish there, then I'm pretty sure they're not going to buy that. So.
Okay, well, we want it coming before Dunwoody homeowners, the city council.
Whatever your city process is, if somebody rents the building adjacent to it, what process do they have to go through?
No, they would buy it.
No, there's adjacent space directly across from us in the shopping center right now that is for lease. Whatever process that those people would have to go through would be the same thing for our space. I'm not sure why would we treat that any different.
Well, this is really more of a personal thing. I have a box at the post office like a lot of people do. I mail books, and you can only do it by going up to the counter. You can't do it in the box, in that machine. And when I go to the post office, I don't go to the post office. I go to the post office, I go to CVS, I go to the library, I go to Publix, I go to the places that are around it. For me to have to, and I go to the P.O. box every day because of business purposes. So many people, more people are going to be on the road, that's something we're discouraging in Dunwoody. The timing of this could not be more atrocious, because we are trying to form a community here and get our community better. And what you're doing is removing a prime thing that a community has. People go to the library, to the post office, to the this and that, and they're all, they're all to the banks, the 100 banks in the area. And I think some of your consideration should be the people of the city of Dunwoody. Certainly there are other post offices, maybe not in the Dunwoody vicinity, that you can close or change or move that wouldn't affect the lifestyle that we've established and would like to continue to establish. I don't go to Shalford Road for any reason. And now, so every day I'm going to have to go over there. It just is wrong somehow to try to come in and tell a community you've based your life, your daily life on this, and now because of dollars and cents that you won't even, you haven't told us how much you think you might be able to get for that building. There's a lot of good business minds in this room that might come up with some, other solutions. I can't say better, I'm sure you've thought about it. I just think it's unfair to our community at this point in our development. We're a brand new city, to rip out part of the city that is just what Dunwoody is, and it's just something that you ought to consider over and above, not only the bottom line. There's a bottom line that needs to be walked around, but that isn't the only issue. Where there's a people issue that I don't think you really consider.
If we weren't considering that, we wouldn't be at this meeting. We're here because considering the community is a part of what we're doing. This is a community contact town hall meeting. It's required that we go do this to get the information just like you're giving us. We have done similar things to this. Matter of fact, we've done one exactly like this at Blackshear, Georgia, and they couldn't get us out of downtown fast enough. So they had just the opposite effect. So we're here to gauge the community. We're moving further away from some people. We're moving closer to some people. I'm pretty sure people live out there where we're at. I saw them a while ago. There you go. Okay, see, there is a few that live. Thank you for coming tonight. I'll take you back on that. Okay, but my point is, generally, you guys are here because you're concerned citizens. That's what this meeting is for. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're concerned citizens. But I haven't been to a lot of these meetings where we have a lot of people give up and give praise for what we're doing. Usually people come is because they're affected adversely by something. You don't usually, you know, it's like taking time to write a good letter to somebody. We all say we're going to do it, but frankly, nobody ever does that, okay? So we're here to gauge the community, to find out if there's some reason that we can't do this. I mean, we've been to hundreds of these meetings through the years for different things, and we always find out something that we didn't know. I've lived in Atlanta for a long time, but I haven't lived in Dunwoody. Although I used to work around here a lot.
That's obvious.
But, yeah, well, I live in Cumming, and I can't afford what I got now. But anyway, we're here to find out you guys' concern, and believe it or not, we keep saying it, you're going to either believe it or not going to believe it. There's nothing we can do to impact that. But we're telling you, if the decision was already made, we wouldn't be talking to you, and there'd be a for sale sign on the Dunwoody Post Office. That's not what's happening. We are going to take every bit of this information, we're going to go back, we're going to analyze it along with all of the other data that we have to analyze to see if it's in the best interest of everybody. Okay? There is a bottom line.
We appreciate your passion for this. As Jerry said, you know, we have to do this, and we go through the different communities. And believe me, every community that we go into and we have to do this process or present this process, everyone is just as passionate for their community, for what they're trying to do, for their revitalization, for the establishment of their town. It's just like any other, and we appreciate that so much. Okay, we don't have to. The council meeting will be starting here in a few minutes, but we don't want to miss anyone. You've had your hand up a long time.
My question is, how large is the facility by Walmart, and do they have a loading dock?
No.
They're very, very. How large is that facility?
I have 4,000 facilities. That's the one that I don't have committed to memory.
It's very small.
If it's very small, we don't have a lot of boxes there. Sometimes we don't have to have a loading dock because the volume of mail going in the box is not so
much. Okay, if we only have 900 boxes underused in ours, there's a lot of empty storefront in Dunwoody Village. Sell the old post office. Put it in one of the storefronts where we have enough room for a facility for taking our mail if we only need that much room.
I have an answer for that. We've looked at that. The build-out cost for a new facility versus the amount of money generated from the sale of that one doesn't leave enough money to make it worthwhile.
To use an existing building, not build a building?
To build out a facility. We can't take the facility. We still have to put the retail. We have to build out the counter. We have to build out a lot of other stuff. And typically,
I think you'll get more for your building than that would cost to redevelop. I don't know what you're asking for your building, but...
And then I have to continue to pay rent on top of that. Again, as I stated before, this analysis is done on a 10-year period. If I make just an easy math, if I make $1 million off of a building, it costs me $500,000 to build it out, and then I'm paying rent of $100,000 a year, then in 5 years, I'm back to no building and no money.
How many acres do you own in the village?
We want to If you want to see me afterwards, I'll be glad to go around.
I mean, you've done this detailed analysis. I would think you'd know precisely how many acres.
We did.
And the square foot retail.
We have it up here. I can give that to you.
1 million seems pretty low amount of money for my acres.
I threw that number out there. I didn't say that when we were kidding.
And finishing off the storefront about the size of this room seems like an awfully small thing considered to that.
Yeah. All I can tell you is I've done about probably 1,000 of those. Pretty good now on what it costs.
Yes, sir. There's no reason to assume at this point that your business is bottomed out. If anything, it's going more and more in computers. There's no reason to assume at this point that the U.S. economy is bottomed out, with the federal government spending $1 trillion more this year than they're taking in, and we still have a 10% unemployment rate. I have a deja vu feeling here. We're going to be sitting here 5 years from now as you're going to try to figure out whatever you come up with here now is going to be merged with something else in order to consolidate because you've got too much capacity there.
We don't know what the future is going to hold, just like in any other business or anything that we have.
5 years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation. 5 years from now, you may be exactly right.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, a couple of things that were said that I wanted to clarify. One of them, you said something about it was hard to staff that facility. Why is that?
That'll be the mic. Because it's easier for us to staff it when we have distribution and numerous different assignments that we can blend in. Because many days, you know, the lines, the business peaks, the window traffic is up and down. And so sometimes it's hard for us to staff. We can staff fully to meet that, but at other times today it's very inefficient. We don't have enough. We have too many people. But when we have mixed duties, it's easy for us to staff. It's because employees can come in early, distribute mail, you know, cover lunch, and so we have much more flexibility. This gives us more flexibility.
Well, I partly said that because I agree with the lady here who said that all the people that work at Zoning are not rude, and they are very nice people, and I think it is a combination of the frustration of the customers being in line for a while, and then it kind of feeds itself sometimes. But the thing is, if they just had one or two more windows open, there wouldn't be so much frustration. It would be okay. But I've heard it said before that they can't get people to work there, and that's why I don't understand why that would be.
It's interpretation. Staffing is easier when you have a lot of flexibility, and the more staff you have, the more flexibility you can have.
But you're going to have a meeting there.
Right. Well,
you're missing one on here. The one in the mall.
Can they ask how many days a week does this refined mail supposed to be delivered?
Sorry?
How many days a week is this refined mail supposed to be delivered?
That's one of Walmart.
Every day.
Well, it never has been.
If the business is open.
It has never been delivered in Dunwoody for 26 years that I've been there, every day. Because the day that the girl who sorts it is off, nobody knows how to do it, she's on vacation. And now it's sorted over at the Ashford Dunwoody location that's by the Walmart, and they're not even open on that.
Well, we have the local management here, so again, along with your concerns about the wait time, that's another concern that we'll address. My name and address is on the posting that was in the newspaper. I will give it to you now. It was on the posting. It's David Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, if you'd like to write this down. You can look in the paper, or you can look on the posting that was at City Hall here. It's the same name, posting that was put out everywhere. It's David Ashley. Address is 1735 North Brown Road. If you don't get this, I'll give it to you afterwards. And that's Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30043. I'll give you my telephone number as well. You can call me up, we'll talk. 678-442-6022. Does anyone need me to repeat that?
Can I get your email address?
Just mail it to me.
I don't have time to go to the post office.
Heard that story. Thank you so much for hold on just a minute. Thank you so much for coming. The mayor has some comments to make here, so if you give him his attention.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you guys coming out. I know this is a difficult subject. for this community and for you guys to speak about, but I'd like to make a couple final comments. One, myself and City Council unanimously passed a resolution opposing the move from the Doney Village location. There's a number of reasons that we did that. But one, I would implore you guys, as you're doing your research, to look, and we just went through the exercise. As y'all know, we are a new city, and we had to find real estate space. And in fact, we looked at space right by your sorting facility, one for our police offices, which are located right here, and one for our city hall, which are located right here. And honestly, it is a terrible location for our consumers and your consumers, and we share consumers, which is the constituents of this city and the state. So I implore you to look at that, because I think that maybe is an oversight, and I know this is financial, and I know there are pieces and parts to look at, but please look at that, because it truly is a terrible, terrible location for the majority of not only citizens, but also for businesses. We are in the heart of the biggest business district within the Southeast, the Perimeter Central District, and much of that district travels to the Doney Village area for the restaurants, for lunchtime, and for other other reasons there. So that is utilized by the business community, and getting to Shalaford, again, is going to be terrible, not only for, I think, the most of the residential community, but for the business community. So, we appreciate the public coming out. We appreciate you guys coming out and talking to us, and hopefully we can do this again. Our doors are open. I know your doors are open. Let's continue the communication process. For everybody else in the room, we have a 7 o'clock special call meeting. I'm going to get that meeting started. And one more announcement from Warren Huttmacher, because we're going to have these maps moved somewhere. So those of you that want to see these drawings.
Yeah, with the Postal Service permission, we've set up a table in the lobby, and we'll go ahead and put these drawings out there so you can look at that as well, if that's all right with Postal Service. Thank you.